I appreciate Scott's leading of the singing this morning and tonight. Did a good job. And I forgot to tell him and Bobby that I enjoyed that song this morning. That was very good. It was a blessing. Appreciate that. If you would tonight, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John is after Luke and before Acts. In case you didn't know. As if you didn't know. But tonight I thought we'd take a look at the, not the whole chapter, but we'll look at the first 46 verses of this chapter, which depicts our Savior as the resurrection and the life. And there are three main points I would like to emphasize in this message tonight. And of course there are more than three, but I just picked these three out of this chapter and they caught my eye, you know, when I was reading John 11. Point number one is that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And I think that's the main point of this chapter. Point number two is the faith of Martha and Mary is going to be stretched or made strong, strengthened. And finally, point number three is the reaction of the onlookers to the miracle that Jesus performed in this chapter. And I know some of you are taking notes. I'll go over those with you just briefly again. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. The faith of Martha and Mary will be stretched. And the reaction of the onlookers to the miracle that Jesus performed. Those are the three main points we'll take a look at tonight. And as I said before, there are more points than just three in this chapter. But we'll just take a look at those. First of all, let's read the first 16 verses of the chapter, starting at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent into him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the light, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. And we'll stop right there just for a few minutes. First of all, we see that Lazarus, whom the Lord Jesus knew and loved, and the Lord had more than just an acquaintance with Lazarus and Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha, Lazarus was sick. Word was sent to the Lord that Lazarus was in Bethany, where they lived, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, that Lazarus had was sick. And he says in verse 3, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved Lazarus and his two sisters. He spent time with them in their home and in Bethany when he was there. He had a special place in his heart for these three people. And we see, first of all, in verse 4, the reaction of the Lord Jesus. He said in verse 4, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, the Lord Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And the reason that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead is also mentioned in verse 4, that the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you ever read the gospel account of his earthly ministry, his life here on earth, you'll see that everything that our Savior did, everything that he said, every thought that he had, every motivation of his heart was for the glory and honor of God. And, you know, I think that's instructive for us. I think there's an application in there for you and I. The things that we do and say and how we live our lives, how we behave and conduct ourselves, it's for the glory of God. At least I hope that's what it is. And, you know, we all struggle with that. I struggle with that every day about honoring the Lord in my life. And I know that you do, too. But, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the perfect example. Because everything that he said, everything that he did, every thought in his heart, every motivation was for the glory of God. And we also see in verses 8 through 14 that the disciples had a difficult time understanding what the Lord Jesus was trying to accomplish in these verses. First of all, in verse 8, when the Lord said, let's go into Judea in verse 7, the disciple says, well, Lord, the Jews wanted to stone you, and we're going over there again? And we see that the disciples' faith in the Lord was not quite where it should be in this chapter. And the Lord said in verse 11, he mentioned his friend Lazarus in verse 11. He said, Lazarus was sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. His disciples thought, well, if Lazarus is sleeping, that's a good thing if he's sick. And the Lord Jesus in verse 13 was speaking of his death, but they thought, the disciples thought that they were speaking of, the Lord was speaking of taking rest in sleep. So you see that the disciples were not thinking on the same level that the Lord Jesus was. They weren't, the disciples and Jesus were not on the same page. And the disciples and the Lord Jesus were like two trains traveling along in different tracks, you might say. And the disciples, we can, it's easy to point fingers at the disciples' lack of faith in the Lord. But, you know, sometimes in our own lives, don't we have a lack of faith in the Lord Jesus ourselves? You know? And the disciples were, weren't quite at that point where their faith was total and complete. And, you know, the Lord Jesus never rebuked the disciples for that. If you'll read, he always instructed them and taught them and encouraged them. But he never, rebuked them. He was never harsh with his disciples. He was very gentle and loving and kind with the disciples. And we see here in verse 14 that the Lord Jesus finally told the disciples plainly, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. And he says that, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. You know, it was always the intention of the Lord Jesus Christ to increase and make stronger the faith of the disciples. That was his goal. And we also see that the Lord worked in Martha and Mary's life, as we're going to see in a few minutes, to that same goal. And the Lord Jesus Christ, brother, sister in Christ, he is working in your life. He is working in my life to make our faith stronger. That's his goal. And sometimes he may have to stretch our faith somewhat. The Lord Jesus may bring us to a point in our lives where our faith is, we're going to have faith in him or faith in ourselves, and that in certain areas of our life or certain burdens and trials that we have to endure, that the Lord Jesus is going to put us into a position of having faith in him and thereby strengthening our faith or not. And the Lord Jesus here in this chapter was trying to stretch and to make the faith of the disciples stronger and more firm. And in verse 16, Thomas said, you know, in verse 6, Thomas doesn't have the right attitude here. Thomas said, well, okay, well, let's go with him and told his disciples, well, let's go and, you know, we're going to get stoned to death with him anyway, so maybe we'll die with him. You know, it doesn't look like Thomas had a lot of faith in the Lord right here, verse 16, does it? And I think that Thomas, in many ways, mirrors our faith on certain occasions at certain times. And I'm not accusing you of having a lack of faith in the Lord. If I do that, I'll have to accuse myself. But what I'm saying here is that Thomas's faith sometimes mirrors our own in that our faith, you know, sometimes leaves us. And I believe that Thomas and the other disciples' faith was not at a point yet in this chapter. Their faith was not at a point where that they would believe that the Lord Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. Well, let's start reading at verse 17. Let's continue on. And let's read verses 17 through 27. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And we'll stop right there just for a few minutes. When the Lord was on his way to Bethany with his disciples, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. He was in the grave. He was buried. The stone had been put on his tomb. And as Jesus was going to Bethany, and Bethany was the city of Bethany, well, it says that it was 15 furlongs from Jerusalem. Now, 15 furlongs, you may think that's a long way off, but it's an eighth of a mile, which is not very long. And the Lord Jesus and his disciples, if you were I figured it out the other night, at least I think I did, an eighth of a mile is about a little over 200 yards. You can correct me on that if I'm wrong, but I think that's right. I think I did my division correctly. An eighth of a mile, you and I could walk 200 yards without any problem. That's the length of two football fields. So Bethany was not a very long way. And, you know, Jesus and his disciples didn't have to walk 40 or 50 miles to get to Bethany. And when they got there, Martha came out to meet the Lord Jesus. And it's interesting the conversation that takes place with Martha here. And Martha came to the Lord Jesus, and in verse 21 she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would have not have died. In verse 21. Did Martha make a true statement about the Lord Jesus? Oh, yeah, yes. No doubt. Yeah, if Jesus had been in Bethany, and he could have easily healed Lazarus from his sickness. You know, Martha had enough faith in the Lord to believe that Jesus could have done that. In verse 21. And we see that Martha's faith is at the point where she knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had the power and authority to heal her brother Lazarus from his sickness. She believed that. She had enough faith in the Lord Jesus to believe that. And in verse 23, the Lord Jesus said, in verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. Now, what was the Lord Jesus talking about in verse 23? Well, the Lord was trying to tell Martha that Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead that day, not next week or next month or next year, but right now, today, that your brother Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead. And Martha, of course, misunderstood. Oh, she didn't have enough faith to understand in verse 24. Well, Lord, yeah, I know that he's going to rise again at the resurrection of the last day. You know, Martha was believed, like the rest of the Jews did, that in the resurrection of the body, that at a future time, that the people will be raised from the dead. God will do that. And, of course, Martha thought, well, the Lord is talking about Lazarus being raised again in a future day. But the Lord Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about raising Lazarus from the dead right then, today, that day. And Jesus said to her very plainly, in verse 25, and this is the first point of emphasis in this passage. Jesus said in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Never die. Now, what is the Lord Jesus in verse 25? When he says, I am the resurrection and the life, what is he talking about there? Jesus, it's very simple. Jesus Christ has the power and the authority to raise the dead and give people eternal life. If you think about it, that is an amazing and astounding statement. Now, you and I know that. We understand that. We accept that. We believe that. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can raise the dead, that he has the power and the authority to give people eternal life. We know that. But think about all the religious leaders in the world today. What other religious leader would make such a claim? Would Buddha say that, do you think? Would Muhammad ever say that he had the power to raise people from the dead and give them eternal life? Do you think all the gods, the false gods of the Hindus, that the Hindus believe that? That there's one person only who has the power to raise the dead and give eternal life to people? No other religious leader in the history of our world has ever made a claim like that, except Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the Lord of death. He has power over death, and he has power over life. I am the resurrection and the life. This is that powerful statement that the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to get across to Martha. And the Lord Jesus said in verse 26, he said, believest thou this? Martha, do you believe that? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that I have the power and authority to raise the dead and give people eternal life? Do you believe that, Martha? Believest thou this? Martha's response in verse 27 is interesting. She said, yes, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. But, you know, it's interesting. If you noticed Martha's response in verse 27, she did make a true statement, didn't she? The Lord Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. No doubt about that. But see, that's as far as Martha's faith would take her right then in verse 27. She believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah of Israel. She believed that he was the Son of God. But she hadn't quite got to the point yet, in verse 27, that the Lord Jesus Christ had the power and authority to raise her brother from the dead yet. She hadn't quite got there yet, in verse 27. And we see that the Lord is stretching and making Martha and Mary's faith stronger. You know, there's an application in there for us that God will work in your life. God will work in my life to stretch our faith, to make it stronger. And now, he may use different methods and different ways in your life to accomplish this, in my life to accomplish that. He may bring burdens and trials into our life. He may make us so dependent on him in every phase of our life that our faith is going to be stretched. Our faith is going to be made stronger. But at some point in your Christian experience, in my Christian life, Christian experience, God is going to make our faith stronger, that he is going to work in our life to stretch our faith, just like he's doing with Martha here, and just in a few minutes with Mary. And Martha said in verse 27, yet, well, Lord, I believe you're the Christ. I don't know about you being the resurrection and the life. I don't know if you have the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, but I believe you're the Christ. You're the Son of God. You see, Martha hadn't got to that point yet in her life where her faith in the Lord Jesus was that she believed that he could raise her brother from the dead. Well, let's go on. Let's look at start reading verse 28. Verse 28, when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And we'll stop right there. Jesus wept. Interesting here, another interesting conversation that the Lord has with Mary. When Martha returned, she told Mary that the Lord was in town, was in Bethany, and Mary went out to meet the Lord. In verse 32, it says that Mary fell at his feet and said, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Notice verse 21. Go back up to verse 21. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Martha said that. Martha and Mary are saying exactly the same thing. The wording is identical. Now, I don't know if Mary and Martha got together and decided, well, if the Lord had been here, he could have healed Lazarus. I don't know if they got together and said that or not. They may have. I don't know. We don't know. But it's interesting that Mary and Martha's faith was identical. Mary had the same faith that Martha did. She believed that if the Lord Jesus Christ was in Bethany, he had the power to heal her brother's sickness and to raise him up. You know, she believed that, just like her sister Martha did. And it says in verse 33 that Jesus saw poor Mary. She was weeping. She was grieving for her brother, whom she loved, in verse 33. And he saw the Lord, he saw her neighbors, the other Jews, they were weeping too. In verse 33. And it says in verse 33, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. That word groaned means a deep-seated agitation. A deep-seated agitation. The Lord Jesus was troubled at this. And he asked in verse 34, where's Lazarus' grave at? And they pointed out the grave of Lazarus. Verse 35, Jesus wept. He wept. He cried. He sobbed. Now, many Bible expositors think, some people think, I shouldn't say Bible expositors, but some people may think that the Lord Jesus was weeping and crying because Lazarus was dead. Well, that's not true. He wasn't crying and weeping because of that, because he was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew he was going to do that. He knew he had the authority and the power to do that. I think the Lord Jesus was weeping over the fact of what sin had done to the human race. The ruin of sin in the world. Possibly he was weeping over the fact that there were people who were not going to believe in him, that were going to reject him as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world. You recall at another place that the Lord Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. You remember that? He looked out over the city of Jerusalem and he wept for the people. The Lord Jesus, it's interesting, he can weep for a city full of people. And he can also weep at the grave of a dear friend. In verse 35. And here, you know, the Lord reveals his humanity to us. You know, he comes to the grave of Lazarus, and he sees this grief. He sees the pain. And he understands the pain and the grief. And he understands Mary and Martha and the friends of the family, how they're feeling and what they're going through. He knows exactly what was happening. And you know, I believe that one of the things that the Lord can do in our lives as believers in order to make our faith strong, in order to stretch our faith, he may allow someone who is very near and dear to us, who we love supremely, he may allow that person to be taken in death. And sometimes that will strengthen our faith. It would cause us pain. It would cause us sorrow. But you know that verse in the Psalm, which says, Psalm 30 and verse 5 says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Isn't that great? See, the Lord Jesus, he understands what you and I go through. He understands the burdens that we feel, the trials that we have to endure. He understands all that. And when he was weeping at the grave of Lazarus, he understood exactly how Mary and Martha was feeling. He understood precisely, 100%, totally, completely what they were going through. He knew. He knew. The Lord knew. And he understood. And we see also the reaction of some of the people in verse 37. It says in verse 37, well, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? We see here the people's lack of faith in the Lord Jesus right here. Of course he could have raised Lazarus up from his illness, from his sickness. But that was not what the Lord was trying to accomplish here, you see. The Lord was going to perform a miracle that will give hope to all mankind. And, you know, I think that this one of these things, well, one of the things here that we can see, when the Lord Jesus raises Lazarus from the death, then that's a precursor of a great event that's going to happen in the future. When the Lord comes back from his church, that's us, all the believers in Christ that are dead, all the believers in Christ that are living, are going to be taken up to heaven in a great resurrection. That great resurrection day. What a wonderful time and day that will be. And the Lord Jesus here is giving us a taste. He's cracking open the door just a little bit. And he's allowing us to look into a day in the future where he will come. And he will perform and that wonderful, incredible, awesome resurrection. And the Lord here in verse 37 and verse 38, and says in verse 38, Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, came to the grave, and it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Verse 39, Jesus said in verse 39, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. The Lord is asking the family of Lazarus, that is Mary and Martha, take away that stone. Open the grave. And of course, Martha said, well, you know, Lord, our brother's body is deteriorated. It's starting to smell. That's what happens to the human body when it dies. And in verse 40, Jesus said, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Martha, you must believe that I am the resurrection and the life, and then you will see the glory of God. But see, Martha and Mary first had to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the resurrection and the life. In verse 39, Martha, what the Lord Jesus was doing by opening this tomb is to give him access to Lazarus. Martha, her faith in verse 39 wasn't totally complete yet in verse 39. Well, Lord, you know, my brother's body is starting to smell, and you know, if you open the tomb, that's what's going to happen. And Jesus said, if thou wouldest believe, Martha, you'll see the glory of God. And in verse 41, it says, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was. They took away the stone where the dead was. In verse 41, Martha and Mary believe that the Lord Jesus had the power and the authority to raise their brother from the dead. Somewhere between verse 40 and 41, their faith was made complete and total. They believed in the Lord Jesus that he had the power to raise the dead. And because in verse 41, they believed it because they believed that the Lord Jesus had that power because they allowed that stone be taken away from the grave and the grave to be opened up. They believed that Lazarus was going to walk out of that grave. In verse 41. So you see, the Lord Jesus stretched the faith of Martha and Mary. He made their faith stronger in this chapter. And in verses 41 and 42, the Lord prayed a very short prayer. But he said at the end of verse 42, but because of the people which stand by, I said that they may believe that thou hast sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted these onlookers to see that God had sent his son into the world and that his son had the power over life and death. And in verse 43, it says, when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, some Bible commentators think if the Lord Jesus had said, just come forth, instead of Lazarus, all the graves would have been opened up and everybody would have been resurrected. But you know, he specified, Lazarus, come forth. So that there was only one person in this particular event that was going to come out of that grave, and that was just Lazarus and him only. But the Lord Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus in verse 44 came forth. He came out of the grave dressed in grave clothes. And the Lord said in verse 44, he said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. You know, it's interesting, and this brings up point number one. We've seen that the Lord Jesus Christ was the resurrection and the life. Point number two, we see that the Lord was stretching and making stronger the faith of Martha and Mary. And point number three, the reaction of the onlookers to this awesome miracle. Let's look at verses 45 and 46. Verse 45 reads, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Interesting. Verse 45, many of the Jews believed on him. Verse 46, some of them did not. You know, I think it's interesting. If you take a look at this event, and if you think of all these people, and perhaps dozens of people gathered around the grave of Lazarus, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ perform this incredible, awe-inspiring miracle of raising this man from the dead. They knew that the claims that Jesus was claimed to be the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, they knew that, and they saw the Lord Jesus perform this miracle, yet some of them refused to believe in the Lord Jesus. Can you believe that? Well, what does that show us? Well, I think one of the things that shows us is the hardness of the human heart. There are people in the world today, if you tell them about Christ, you tell them that they loved him, that he went to a cross and died for him, that he was resurrected from the dead, that he wants to grant you eternal life, he loves you so much he was willing to die on the cross, yet those people will continue to refuse to believe in that. And here's some people, man, here's the people at the grave of Lazarus that saw these things with their own eyes. They didn't read about it. They saw the Lord Jesus perform this miracle, yet some of them refused to believe. Refused. You know, and I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, you know, suppose I was unsaved, and I was at the tomb of Lazarus that day. Would I have believed in the Lord Jesus? Suppose all of us, we were at that tomb, we were all unsaved. We didn't know the Lord at all. And we saw the Lord Jesus perform this miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. Would you and I, would we have believed in the Lord Jesus? Do you think? I like to think that I would have done that. I would like to think that, yeah, I would have believed in the Lord Jesus once I saw him perform this miracle. But you know something? I don't know whether I would have or not. If we're honest with one another in our hearts, we would have to say, well, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure whether I would have or not. Thank God, though, we are among the many at the tomb of, if we were at the tomb of Lazarus, maybe we would have been among the many that would have believed in the Lord. But, you know, it made me think also of the preciousness of our salvation that we have. That the Lord Jesus Christ has granted you and me eternal life and total and complete forgiveness of our sins. That, you know, we don't have to worry about is this miracle true or not, or did this really happen? Was this a real historical event? Did this man Jesus really perform that miracle? See, there's no doubt in our mind that when Jesus Christ was there at the tomb of Lazarus, this event really happened. We know that. We accept that. We believe that. But there were some at the tomb of Lazarus who refused to believe in the Lord. And you know, before we point our fingers at these people, let's search our own hearts. Let's look at our own faith in the Lord. And let's remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to stretch our faith. He is trying to make our faith in him stronger. And it may seem that in your life that the Lord is not really working in your life. It may seem almost imperceptible. It may seem, if you go by day, week by week, and month by month in your life, it may seem like the Lord is not really building your faith, but He is in small ways, maybe. On a daily basis, the Lord Jesus Christ is building our faith in Him and making it stronger, just like He did with Mary and Martha. It's interesting here that Mary and Martha came to that point in their lives where they believed that Jesus Christ was the resurrection and the life. You know, they were there, and they saw their brother raised from the dead. I'd like to see the expression on their face. I would love to have been there and seen that. To see Lazarus walk out of that grave. But you know, this same event is, like I said before, this same event is going to happen again someday in the future, yet on an incredible worldwide basis. That every single dead Christian who is in the grave now, every dead believer in Jesus Christ right now who is in the cemetery, who is in a grave, or maybe their bodies are not even around anymore, regardless of what their state is right now, every single one of those believers in Christ are going to be raised from the dead. Every one. And they will have new bodies, and we will go to heaven. We will be taken up to heaven to be with the Lord. Those of us who had the privilege of being alive during this time will be taken up to heaven to be with the Lord. He's not going to forget us. And we'll be in His presence forever. Right now, Lazarus and Martha and Mary are in the presence of the Lord Jesus right now. Right now. They're enjoying His presence right now. They are where we long to be right now. We long to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I do. I want to be there right now. I wish the Lord would come tonight. But we don't have any knowledge of whether He will tonight or not. But in any case, He will. We know that at a future time in history. See, what a wonderful thing we've got to look forward to. Mary and Martha had a wonderful thing to look forward to when the Lord Jesus resurrected them, hit their brother from the dead. He will do the same thing for us, brother, sister in Christ. The same thing. What a wonderful Savior. Amen? That's good. And, you know, this chapter is interesting. There are a lot more, there are different ways of looking at this chapter. Most Bible expositors look at the Lord Jesus as being the resurrection and the life, and He certainly was. He certainly is, I should say. But, you know, we have a wonderful future ahead of us. We have nothing but wonderful, glorious things to look forward to in the future. With Him, with the Lord. We may endure that sorrow of separation and death in this life. We may feel the pain of being separated from the ones that we love in this life, but someday we'll be with them forever in the presence of our Savior. What a wonderful day that'll be. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You for the Word of God, and Lord, we look forward to that time when we'll be in Your presence, Heavenly Father. Our hearts are filled with joy in knowing that at some point in the future, we don't know exactly when, but we know, Lord, that You will be coming for us, and You will take us to be home with Yourself. We don't know whether our bodies, Father, are going to be in the grave or we'll be alive. But we know, Lord Jesus, that You're coming again. And we believe that we'll be resurrected, that just as You resurrected Lazarus from the dead, You will do the same thing for us. And we just give You praise and thanksgiving for that wonderful person who made it all possible, our blessed and wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We pray in His holy name. Amen.